This episode of The Selling Out Show is brought to you by our partners at Wonky Weeds. All set to relax, sit back, and just let your mind wander freely after a hectic day? Check out Wonky Weeds' delicious Delta 8 edibles. Wonky Weeds Delta 8 comes from U.S.-grown hemp, free from chemicals and pesticides. And as an added bonus, you can save 20% off your entire order at wonkyweeds.com with promo code SELLINGOUT20. Don't let this deal slip away. Order today. Check out their entire line of amazing products at wonkyweeds.com.
What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is my good buddy and partner in crime, Nathan Gorzinski. Nate, how are you this fine day?
I'm great, man.
Really? It's good.
I am. How are you?
I am good, too. I you said great. I responded with good. So
that's okay.
Maybe we're in the middle there somehow. But I feel freaking fantastic. I'm doing a podcast with one of my best buddies in the entire universe because I do know a few aliens and we're tight.
Yeah.
You know, we do book clubs together, share sugar, things of that nature. But as far as flesh and bone, you're up there, buddy.
Oh, that's great, man. See, now I feel better. You were doing good when I first asked.
Mm.
But now you've thought about it, and my presence here has made things better.
Your presence is a present. It is.
Wow, but, and that makes me feel better.
Good.
So we all fucking benefit.
Yeah. Whatever we're feeling right now, we should compress it into a small capsule form and force feed it to the citizens of this fine planet we like to call Mudball X or Earth.
Sounds good.
Yes. But I am bringing up alien stuff because on this pulse-pounding, packed, and provocative episode, we are going to be talking about the new Predator film on Hulu known as Prey. And I have fallen victim to Predator fever. Now, just to kind of get this out of the way, Nate, you are a fan of sci-fi, horror, monsters, the entire genre. I am more of a casual observer, but we'll be getting to that in a little bit. I did want to mention, though, real quick, because I always seem to forget it, and it's fairly important, because we do have listeners, and it's great when they participate. So if you ever want to reach out to the show and weigh in, or, you know, just drop a few opinions here or there, you can reach us very easily via email, sellingoutshow@gmail.com, or via our socials at sellingoutshow. If you are a Predator, though, please do not respond. I would appreciate that. But anyway.
Although our Facebook, I believe, is sellingoutshow1.
Yes, you're right. Facebook, look at you fixing that. I was leaving that in the dust.
That's because you hate Facebook.
Yeah. Suck it, Zuckerberg.
Zuck it,
Zuckerberg. Did you come up with that? Is that an original?
It just came off the top of my head.
I like that. We could put that on a t-shirt and probably make a whole whopping $7.52.
All right.
Zuck it. But anyway, what do you say without further ado, we just start talking about movies? Because, I mean, some people just tuned in and said, well, I like the Dave and Nate banter, but then they just brought up the whole tease. Stop teasing me, guys. Let's get into it. So, Nate, are you cool about getting into it?
I'm fucking real cool.
Ooh.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a...
One ugly motherfucker.
Oh, Nate. Yes, indeed. Predator, the Predator franchise. has now taken over the entire universe, thanks to Hulu. And I must say, I am extremely pleased that it was a streaming exclusive, not in theaters, because if you say to me, oh, there's a new movie coming out, the death knell for me is when they put the tagline exclusively in movie theaters, because if the lockdown did anything for me, it was to make me aware that watching movies at home is far superior than going to a movie theater.
I'm down for that. I'll agree with that.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a little counter. I don't know, man. There's nothing like the big screen and going there, paying for overpriced popcorn and parking and everything else.
Well, as tempting as that sounds, I'm kind of, I don't know, my social anxiety, just like everyone else's, has gone through the roof even more so since the pandemic. So I think a lot of people are feeling what you're feeling lately.
Oh, okay. The social anxiety, you're in there, you're sitting in the dark theater, someone's 25 feet away from you, eight rows up, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, man. You
like it.
You get used to being at home and not having to hear people talking or babies crying in the damn theater.
Who's taking a baby to go see Prey?
You never know.
I know what I really you do never know, because I remember in the past I would see things on social media. Hey, is Deadpool 2 safe enough for my 4-year-old? And you go, geez, guy. I mean, we do have a rating system in effect. I realize there is some leeway at play there. But at the same time, you know, use your best judgment. Do you want your 4-year-old seeing guts, blood and sex on the big screen? But hey, I'm not telling you how to parent your kids. I'm not doing it. I want to, but I'm not going to do it. Now, Nate, I alluded to this fact right before we started this little humble segment on the movie Prey on Hulu, that you are a fan of the franchise and the genre in general. So we do have to kind of come up with some ground rules right now, live on air. Are we going to spoil anything, or what's going on here?
Ooh, well, I mean, it depends. Are you talking about for the new film, or are we going to worry about spoilers from any other movies we talk about?
No, I really am not very concerned with spoiling Alien versus Predator Requiem for anybody, because that's been out, I think, for a substantial enough amount of time where spoiler rules have, you know, kind of gone to the wayside. But I'm talking about the new one, the new Prey film on Hulu.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for not spoiling any major things. I think the story seems fairly self-explanatory to anyone that wants to watch it. I don't think anything is going to surprise anyone in this film, but we'll get into it, I guess. I think we can figure it out as we get to said spoilers, but okay. I don't know. I don't know. It's up to you, man. I'm down to fuck everyone's movie watching experience up.
I've done that a little bit already via text when hey, you've been watching Prey. Yeah. Does this happen? Oh, you better believe. You bet. And I just lie. I don't even tell the truth. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, let's get this out of the way. There is a dog in the movie. So I had a friend of mine who's like, oh, if this dog bites it, I'm turning off the Hulu.
Yeah.
And so I immediately wrote back, that dog bites it in the next 6 minutes and 22 seconds. So prepare to turn off your Roku, my friend. It's over. But that's not true. So that's not technically a spoiler. But there is a dog in the movie. Is that a spoiler?
You just spoiled it now.
That there's a dog in the movie?
That the dog does not die.
Oh, well, I didn't say that. You just said
you
that.
Did. You
no. I said the dog didn't die in the first 6 minutes and 22, however random seconds I threw out there.
Oh, shit.
So good one, Nate.
Oh, well, I guess we're doing spoilers.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the way it goes. But I do want to start off with something I think is fairly significant about the movie that is pretty important. I mean, we could talk about the whole flow of the film, the script, the directors, everything else. But I'm more interested in talking about the performers, and I'm starting to stutter. I'm getting a little a flush.
Uh-oh.
I'm blushing a little bit because the star of the film is a young woman by the name of Amber Midthunder, and something's happening to me when I see this young woman on the screen. Now, I don't know if this is maybe inappropriate due to my age. I don't have no idea how young she is, but holy, holy moly. I am very impressed with her beauty.
I watched some review on this actually, coincidentally, that kind of compared her to a Native American Aubrey Plaza. And I can see it. It's something about her eyes, her lips, something like that. She's got a sort of, I don't want to say, I guess, ethnic Aubrey Plaza look.
Okay.
But But I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Depends on what your definition of ethnic is. Because Aubrey Plaza is, I believe, Puerto Rican anyway. So it's like.
Yes. I mean, now that we're being, you know, superficial and talking about, look, she's okay. She doesn't, you know, don't cue the Dreamweaver when I see her. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You know what, though? It makes me feel less creepy about bringing up her looks now that someone's actually compared her looks to somebody else.
Sure, man. I mean,
I think
the issue about her looks and superficiality and feeling bad about how you feel about these characters or whatever ties into the whole fact of this is a film that I've noticed a lot of the whole, I don't want to say right wing because they're not necessarily right wing, but like the people that get pissed off about woke culture.
Conservatives.
But there's a whole like strain of those people that's like any movie that has like, you know, it's a movie where the main character is gay or it's a movie where the main character is this. They just get mad. They think that like, I don't know. So the reason I'm bringing that up is it's not so much about her looks, but it's about being distracted from the film by a superficial quality of the stars. And I think this film was made with a concept, and the concept was a cool one. The concept was, let's make a Predator movie where it takes place in the past, way before, you know, people had guns and, oh, well, spoiler alert, there are guns. But you know, what would, if we took the Predator story to a different sort of setting and while we're at it, let's make a movie with a female protagonist.
Right.
And it has shades of the whole, you know, the boys all get killed and they doubt the, or not get killed, but the boys kind of
can't handle the problem.
Give the girl a hard time in the beginning, and by the end of the movie, the girl's the one that gets it done, so to speak.
Yeah, I follow you. Well, you know, I have a question for the conservatives. If they're very concerned about a Native American actress being cast in a Native American film, what do they want? They want Fisher Stevens possibly being, you know, an Indian guy, like in Short Circuit, over again? What's the demand here? Who do you want playing that role?
Well, that's kind of the issue. I think that it's like they are starting to put people there. People are having issues with movie characters played by people who aren't that ethnicity or whatever, or, you know, and I understand that. I understand the criticism, but, you know, if we're coming from that whole point of view that hates movies with just two of, you know, out front of a message.
Yeah, well,
the woke people then I don't know. I think people can play parts that they aren't. I think it's a little weird to have a white guy playing a, I don't know, Mexican
black guy
or
Soul Man,
something.
Soul Man be. Part 3. I think we really are wasting a lot of time talking about this, to be honest with you, because I think it's a non-issue. Because realistically here, the people who were in the film were fine and talented, and it had nothing to do with, I mean, oh, my cousin Jim, he went and auditioned for the role of Naru, and he didn't get it. Okay, well, now you're pissed. Now you're upset, whatever, there's a connection there. But to the whole woke thing and everything else, I mean, it might have a time and a place, but it definitely, I don't think, does with Prey. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm not feeling it.
And I agree with you. I'm just telling you what I've seen as far as watching reviews and seeing what the hubbub has been for a lot of this. But I'm with you. I think that just to put a cap on that subject, I will say this. For years, we've watched movies where the main character is usually a white person, or, you know, for decades, for the whole time Hollywood's been around,
you
see that stuff. So what's wrong with having characters that may be gay or maybe a woman or maybe a Native American? It's good for people to see representations of themselves on screen. And the only reason it seems like people have an issue with it is because they've had it for so long, they don't realize that other people would like that. Other people would like to see themselves up there. And sure, maybe sometimes it's a gross kind of grab for marketing and this and that. Like, you could talk about like the Eternals, the Marvel film, the Eternals, where every character was like, you got a gay guy, you got an Indian guy, you got a, you know, this and that. It's almost like they did it purposely to get as much marketing, as many demographics covered as you could. I understand like something like that per se, but like, I definitely think we need to start seeing some diversity in characters, and there's nothing wrong with it. And the issue of having an issue with it,
right?
It just shows like when you're in a position where you, that's just how it is. Your point of view has been represented so much for so long. It feels like an attack when they start spreading it around to others. You know, it feels like what the fuck? Why? You know,
as far as I'm concerned, Nate, they can cast Amber Midthunder in any role.
I'm with you, man.
Any role they want. You want her as, I don't know, just name anybody. You want her as, I don't even know. I'm all hornballing out. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. She can play Wolverine in the next.
Well, it's funny you say that. And I was going to say Wolverine and I stopped myself because.
Fuck out of here.
No. Because apparently there's some mock-ups of her as X-23, which is the female Wolverine.
She was in Logan as a little girl, basically, right?
Yeah, that was a version of that, indeed.
Yeah.
But we just got off the whole wokeness and everything else. But I was going to say, I always have a problem where it's like, hey, this person looks like something. We got to cast him as that something. Yeah. Like, I don't know, fucking John Hamm looks like Clark Kent. He's a natural fit. It's like, well, what about his acting chops? Not saying that John Hamm is a bad actor. I don't know, some people might look at John Hamm, and all of a sudden, chubby is abound everywhere. I don't know. It's just not my thing. I'm more of an Amber Midthunder kind of guy. But, you know, this person's got big breath. She's got to be Catwoman. No.
Yes. No. She's going to be Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a remake. Roger Rabbit sucked. But anyway, back to the film at hand. Prey. I do want to talk about her looks, so again, in a little bit. I want to step away from it for a second to give everybody a breather.
Yeah, before including yourself.
Well, yeah. But they're like, hey, this isn't the selling out show. This is Dave's freaking Predator. Ha! Look at that. Pun intended, Predator Hour. Where I'm probably like, what was that guy who used to catch a predator and he'd come out like, hey,
Chris Hansen's
going to pop up and be like, Amber Midthunder's 17 years old. Oh, fuck.
You never know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I didn't do the research on that. I'm still doing the research on that. How about I say that? Okay. I'm still doing my research.
Okay.
Now, Prey is hyped up beyond belief. Everybody's talking about it. Hence why we're talking about it on our show today. I really didn't have much grip on the lore. I had seen 1 and 2 as a kid, of course. Yeah. When 2 came out in 1990, I was at that perfect age for such a film. I shouldn't have been watching said film because of the gore and the language and everything else. But I have noted many times I was allowed to do whatever the hell I wanted.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater.
Yo, did you? Who took you? Your mom or your dad?
My dad.
Was it uncomfortable?
No, not at all. When my brother and I had already seen RoboCop like 3 years earlier in the theater, which was one of the goriest films I've probably still ever seen.
Yeah.
Just how much blood and whatnot. So,
well, I mean, Predator 2 has some nudity and a sex scene. And, you know, it's got some.
Okay, pussy face. Yeah. It's your move. Shit.
Some questionable lines there. Someone's calling someone else pussy face. Do you look over at your dad and like kind of, oh, and he looks at you and goes, just don't tell your mother.
Basically.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, I've seen those movies. So that was it. That was the cap for me. I don't remember seeing any other Predator movies or ever really had much of a inkling or intention to do so.
Until not missing much.
Well, yes. Apparently, this is what I've heard. The other Predator movies are pretty garbage-esque. So I did do a little bit of a rewatch before we started talking about Prey today. I rewatched 2 and 1. And I dare to say, I'm going to be that guy that I actually kind of prefer 2 to 1.
Okay.
Which may be weird, but I have this strange thing for Danny Glover. You know, no, not that kind of thing, but I like his whole, he either has two modes of speaking.
Yeah.
Which is whisper or shout. There's really not much in between for Mr. Glover when it comes to his acting chops. He's talking really low.
I thought he had throat cancer for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. I'd buy that. I mean, it's really something else. But no, I just like the pacing of the film. I like the whole location. I like how it's in super hot Los Angeles in the futuristic setting of 1997.
Right.
Now, we weren't trying to spoil much about Prey while talking about Prey, but there are going to be connections from those two original films in Prey. Which is cool. It's nice to have those homage sequences that make you go, hey, I get that reference.
Easter eggs.
The Easter eggs. We still call them Easter eggs?
I do.
All right.
Fuck,
right on.
Fuck everyone that doesn't.
Fuck them and fuck their Easter bunny. Yeah. Chris Hansen's going to pop out. What'd you just say?
Oh, shit. Oh. Easter bunny's 16.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Police knocking at Nate's door. but, yeah, so... you, of course, are more familiar, and you just mentioned they're pretty crappy, the newer movies. So maybe you're a little bit more weary going into Prey, knowing that the more recent films were kind of like subpar? Or what? What was going in before you popped on your Hulu to watch this one?
Well, yes. You basically summed it up. My brother and I grew up loving the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was kind of a dry spell for a while where they didn't have a Predator movie. Those movies achieved a legendary status, as far as I'm concerned. And I think your view of part two as better than part one is actually a little more popular than you would think nowadays. Online, I was just noticing there's kind of a lot of people that are having that point of view lately. But after part two, there was this huge lull, and then they made the Aliens versus Predator movies, which were like the holy grail, like hearing about them for all us Predator fans, because spoiler alert for Predator 2, there was the hint that those two cinematic universes would interact.
Because they had the xenomorph skeleton, correct? In the
correct.
Ship? Right.
The skull trophy of the xenomorph from Alien. And so everyone was like, holy shit, holy shit. And when they finally came out with those Aliens versus Predator movies, they were the biggest piles of garbage. They were just, the first one was shitty. It was just, I don't know, I guess visually there were some interesting things just because of the setting that it was in. It was, but I won't get into all of that. But then part two, Aliens versus Predator Requiem, was kind of, they were trying to make a more, I don't want to say urban setting, but a more, like a suburban sort of horror movie type thing out of the Predator and Predator and the Alien story.
Okay.
And it fell flat as far as I'm concerned. Those two movies were pure garbage, pretty much.
Mm.
So, where are we at now? The next one was Predators, plural. And this was a film that came out, again, several years after those Alien versus Predator movies. And I saw Predators in the theater. And I remember actually...
With your dad? Did you see it with your old man? Bring it back around? No?
No. I remember going to see it and actually being pleasantly surprised. It wasn't great. I still stand by that Predators, the one I'm speaking about now, was... Mm-hmm. It's the one decent one out of all the post-Predator 2 movies. There was... Because after Predators, the one I'm talking about.
You really are enunciating that. Well, I can't even enunciate that very well.
They don't use numbers, dude.
Yeah.
They use Aliens vs. Predator, Alien vs. Predator Requiem, Predators. And then the next one was The Predator. It wasn't like Predator 5 or whatever it was supposed to be. It was
I got you.
Predator.
Right, all right.
And this one was the biggest pile of garbage out of all of them. And the worst part is... Again, we were excited to hear my brother and I, or other people that I know that are fans of the franchise, were excited because the guy directing it was Shane Black, who not only directed movies like, or I don't know if he directed or wrote, I believe he directed the Lethal Weapon, but he was also, he's done other movies, but also acted in the original Predator movie. He was like the first guy to get killed, I believe, in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's like skinny guy with glasses and, but
he took one in the ear, correct?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Him or the other guy.
I know there are two guys that looked very similar.
Yeah. Okay. But go on. Shane Black, he expected a lot of things from this guy and he let you down.
He did let me down. I think that movie was the biggest pile of garbage. They tried to, put in like a whole humorous comic relief element by having Keegan-Michael Key in it, the mm-hmm. actor from Key and Peele. And he was just so irritating. I honestly don't mind Keegan-Michael Key in a lot of things. I think he can be funny, but he was just like, he just wanted to kill him the whole movie. And then on top of that, they tried to turn the Predator into just, it seemed like into like a new slasher film. It seemed like you could have put Jason or Michael Myers in a lot of these scenes. It was just, I don't know. It's just this horribly, it was like a B movie.
Yeah. Cut and paste from the tropes kind of thing.
Yes. And just, I don't know. I honestly saw that movie once and had no interest in watching it again. You had mentioned how the Hulu, had with the release of Prey was allowing its viewers to watch all the previous ones. But the one that wasn't available was The Predator with Keegan-Michael Key and all, you know, and I'm like, you know what? You're not missing much like that. If there's anyone to not put in, to not have available.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that one being the one.
You think they did that by design? Cause they knew people were going to, you know, marathon sesh these Predator movies. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, we got them with Prey. Yeah. Right. So now we're going to keep them on our service by allowing them to watch the other films. But if we put the Predator on there, forget about it. Off they go to Disney Plus or Netflix or whatever.
Exactly, man.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where it's available, and I don't really care.
Yeah, okay. Honestly. Yeah, you were like, I hated it. Bury it in the deepest hole. Put sand on it and a witch's curse.
Please.
To never be seen again.
Well, they did the other unspeakable crime that movies tend to do, which was put a little kid in the movie. Have a little kid actor that just ruins the fucking movie.
Yep, always.
And when I heard that, I was still kind of hopeful before I saw the movie because it was that kid, Jacob Tremblay, the actor who's been in a bunch of things. He was in that movie Room with Brie Larson, the thing that kind of made her famous. And he was in a few movies and he's not bad. He's for a child actor. He's actually not bad. But in that movie, it was just the material was garbage. And I don't know. Yeah. The less said about that movie, the better.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Good.
You know, I've said a lot about it.
All right. That's fine. So let me know this now.
Yeah.
Did the new Prey movie turn that frown upside down?
Okay.
You braced yourself there. I saw you white knuckle your chair. Good. Oh boy. Okay. Let it rip. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Not at all. I enjoyed it, but it didn't blow me away. But I guess that's the most I can expect nowadays. It was good. But it seemed to me that as I mentioned earlier, they had the concept.
Yeah.
The Native Americans in the past fighting, you know, as a whole new setting, but they didn't really think much beyond that. Like if you think of what that movie would be like, just knowing those elements, like it's about Native Americans fighting this predator in the past, that's pretty much the whole movie. Like you don't need to know, no major plot points happen that you couldn't just kind of guess. There's, you know, it's kind of like, it's good. It's not done poorly, but it's just very basic. And there were Easter eggs thrown in. We mentioned, here's a quick spoiler. I don't want to, you know what, if you're listening to us by now, it's too late. You're getting this spoiler.
You're in it. Yeah.
So the end of Predator 2, Danny Glover kills the Predator and a bunch of other Predators materialize. They've all been invisible watching him kill their brother. Apparently they're a predator, their fellow predator. And they, instead of killing Danny Glover, they show him respect and give him like it's like an old pistol from like the pirate days, from like the 1700s.
Right.
And it's almost like, look, we've been coming to your planet since back then. We have this old pistol and we're giving it to you as a show of respect, like a trophy for yourself. And it was always like, oh, that's kind of cool. And it opened up that possibility of, oh, wow, they were coming since back then. So this movie, by the end of it, you not only are there Native Americans, but one of the main antagonists is a group of fur trappers or French you know,
traders. Yeah.
Traders. Yes, exactly. Fur trader types. And they are the typical, you know, like it's like these, they're killing off the indigenous people. They're these horrible, you know, horrible people, which has a lot of those other, not to get back into it, but those woke type hating people on the internet fucking going crazy.
They're
too.
Like, hey,
why are the white people always the bad guys? Just, you know.
What's wrong with killing some buffalo and taking their fur?
Right. I know. But at the end of the movie, she ends up with that pistol. So you're kind of like, oh, maybe that's the origin of that pistol. Like she gets the pistol from one of the trapper, the trader, the fur trapper types. But then you're like, well, then how did the fucking predator get it for Predator 2? Like she, at the end of the movie, this human that survived a battle with a predator has this pistol. But in 1997, when Danny Glover fights another predator, somehow that predator or the predator race has that pistol. And so what? The predators came back and slaughtered all those Indians afterwards anyway?
Like, let me, do you want your mind blown?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, here I come with a mind cannon gun. Now, at the end of the movie.
Right. I knew you were going to say this. Yep.
Oh, excuse me.
You're not blowing my mind, but you, go ahead.
All right. At the end of the movie, they have the whole drawing montage during the credits.
Right.
Did you watch?
I did.
So you see that they are promoting a potential sequel to Prey.
Yes.
By implying that Predators will, in fact, return.
Right. The ending credit sequence, which are always done like artistically, like the Marvel movies are always some like artsy looking thing. They look like cave paintings, like Native American cave paintings. And they show like the battle with the Predator and the, like all the things that happen in the movie. But if you stay till the end, you see, yeah, spaceships come back. Like right before the credits, like right before it goes black, there's more spaceships that show up. So it's kind of implying that, yes, they may come. So they potentially could just come. That whole movie you just watched was for nothing. And they do come and slaughter her afterwards anyway and take the pistol back. But that's not even what I wanted to get to with the pistol. Dave, did you know that back in the mid to late 90s, when Dark Horse Comics had all these Predator comic books, that was, and that's actually where Alien versus Predator got its start too, was in comics. There was an issue of Predator that took place on a pirate ship, and they already had the introduction of the pistol. They had a whole storyline, I think it was multi-issue storyline, that addressed where the pistol came from, and it was totally a different story. So apparently that comic is no longer canon. Those things happen. It's been 30 fucking years at this point, 25, 30 years. So, you know, you got to expect that, you know, hey, Star Wars already made all the novels, the countless Star Wars novels, no longer canon by Disney fucking up that storyline. So it just happens, you know.
Well, look at you reversing the whole mind canon thingamajiggy on me.
Yeah, you know.
You know, but I mean, talking about comics, because I do happen to love comics here. I am the comics guy. Hey. Just spent a lot of money on them this week. Yeah, they don't matter anymore. You pick and choose from the source material what you want, and you know, you get away with it. I've always said, if you fuck with continuity in a film, you'll get more backlash than if you screw with the continuity from a comic where the story actually came from. All this being said, though, Nate, you seem a little iffy on your grand overview, your final opinion on the film. I was kind of expecting more, especially considering how crappy you've explained the other ones were. You'd be more good vibes on this one, no?
I was more or less pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised. Like, I was hoping, this was kind of my last chance I'm giving them. Predator movies.
Right, all right. Right. Last gasp here. You might be dead to me in an hour and a half. Right, okay.
But overall, I did enjoy the movie, but by the end of it, I wasn't like, wow, I'm really glad I was introduced to that storyline. Like by the end of it, I was just kind of like, it was okay. And sure. Oh, I did want to bring up one last thing before we wrap up this conversation.
Okay.
Is that So the movie takes place in the past.
Right.
They are fighting natives. They are, you know, indigenous peoples, if you will. And the Predator shows up, and it almost fits the motif because the Predator doesn't have his metal helmet. He has his helmet's made of a skull of some other species. It's like, it looks almost tribal. And there's always been an element of tribalness to the Predators. They seem very like a mix between technology and tribalism, and they use spears and things like that. But in this film, they're using these weapons that, yeah, he's got this skull helmet. They use these weapons that almost look like arrows instead of the laser bolts they use in the original films. Or he uses, there's only one Predator. But I'm watching it, I'm going, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, they're fighting with these weird, more primitive arrow-type weapons and this and that and the skull helmet. And then I realized they fucking flew a metal spaceship to Earth. Like,
yeah.
Why would their fucking weapons be fucking, like, they're fighting with bones and shit? Like, they know how to make spaceships. Why don't they have, you know, better, more technologically advanced weapons?
Okay.
They still had a laser scope.
Yes. All right. You know, I mean, I can only speculate on why that would be. Maybe that particular Predator, who, by the way, was a different version of Predator, by it wasn't like the traditional facial structure. Now, not
sure.
Being deeply, again, rooted in the whole thing, I don't know if there's a comic that explained there's like different evolutions of a Predator or what have you, but it was different looking. But maybe that Predator just had a preference. He's like, hey, man, I like to fish with this rod instead of that rod kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I do want to say this. Premise beach, okay? You can sell me on the premise of anything. I like it when they take a concept and they put it in a different era. I love that stuff. Or if they took a traditionally, let's say you had an Earth-based character and you put him in outer space. Oh, cool. Something new, something different. I'm down for that. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of this film for me was pedestaled because of that. All right. I liked the concept of the movie. Now, the first couple movies that we talked about earlier before the shitty ones, a lot of the appeal was the cast, right? They had these nice ensembles going on. The first movie, you had like Jesse Ventura.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You have Billy, you know what I mean? You had the Apollo Creed loses an arm. Still firing his gun. The second movie, you got Gary Busey, you got Bill Paxton, Danny Glover, on and on and on. So there's a lot of good acting performances in there. In this film, you got relatively unknowns. Okay, so what are we really looking for here? Our ultimate enjoyment of the film. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Not being a Predator fan, I was entertained for that hour and a half. I really got the story. I was going to say sucked into the story. No, but I believed it. I didn't look for little nooks and crannies to kind of criticize or anything like that. I was like, this is a good take on the franchise. I would definitely watch a sequel to this.
Yeah.
You know,
and I respect that. And I did enjoy it overall as well. I think maybe my expectations were a little, they were both too little and too high, you know, too, because I was waiting for it to suck. But then when it didn't suck, I was almost disappointed that it wasn't better. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. You know,
that, kind of unfair of me, but it is what it is, man. I think a lot of it comes from the fact that these movies were big when I was a kid. They
right.
had a lot of, you know, nostalgia elements to them. And speaking of, you mentioned the character of Billy in the first movie. He was also the dude from Road Warrior with the mohawk and the little twink boyfriend on the back of his motorcycle.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
The guy from.
And then, you know what? There's a little Easter egg from Billy.
Yep.
In Prey as
yep.
well.
Yep.
One thing, you know, with those Easter eggs was when you look at Predator 1 and Predator 2, there's some campy crap going on. When you talked about you and your dad going to the movie theater, I played a clip
sure.
of Danny Glover calling the Predator pussy face. But, yep. I mean, realistically, right, when people start thinking of the first movie Predator, what's one of the first things they think of?
Well,
the one-liners. The,
yeah,
one-liners,
the one-liners
from Arnold.
Get to the chopper!
You know, you're immediately like, oh, geez, and everybody's doing the Arnold voice and everything like that. In Predator 2, they had to tap that well again. I mean, to the point of just being, I called it, I think I already called it campy, but so I'll say campy again because I'm getting paid a nickel for every time I say campy here.
You are one ugly motherfucker.
But look at that. They had the Predator swear and say the MF-er thing.
And how the fuck did the Predator know what he was going to say unless he watched the first movie?
Yeah, there you go.
He watched Arnold say, "You're one ugly motherfucker," to the first Predator.
Yeah.
And he knew. And yeah. I don't know, maybe Danny Glover did too. And that's why Danny Glover.
Maybe.
Or maybe you just look at the Predator and you think that's an ugly motherfucker.
Right.
And that's just.
But I my whole point of playing these clips, talking about this, and it's just that when you get the Easter eggs in Prey, they are slight. They're not gratuitous in your face, cheese ball stuff, right. like you would have seen in some of the other films. And maybe they did them in, the Alien versus Predator movies. I don't know.
Yeah. Not that I remember. I'm sure there's some. I don't really remember.
Oh, okay. Well,
but
you know. Yes.
Yes. If I don't think it would have made as much sense to see a Comanche tribesman say, "You're one ugly motherfucker," to Predator. But that makes sense that they would say, "If it bleeds, we can kill it." Like, that's timeless, which is the Easter egg that you're referring to.
Yes,
spoil
yes.
more of this movie.
Spoil, yes. But I mean, yeah, I think cinematically it was a beautiful looking movie. The locations, the way it was shot. I did mention the actress is extremely attractive. Let's get back on that now.
Yeah.
Let's get to that because
how do you really feel?
Okay, great. Nate, you know me.
Yep.
You know me very well.
It's true.
So when you look at a beautiful young lady such as Amber Mid-Thunder, mm-hmm. do you notice anything about her that might, despite the fact I think she is so glorious, irk me?
That would irk you?
Mm.
Oh, man.
Because I have those weird...
I know.
Weird.
I didn't really pay attention to her, like if she had a birthmark on her knuckle or a fucking ingrown tone. I didn't really see anything
like that. You're getting close. You're getting warmer.
I don't know. What does she have, like a I know she didn't have like a unibrow.
She did not have a unibrow. Do you want a hint?
Shit. When she jumped in the mud and got dirt on her and
thought
she looked imperfect.
I wanted to roll in some chili sauce.
Oh, man.
Mud and oil and chili sauce. Let's do that. Yeah. Nice. No, let me know if you want the hint.
I do want. I want to know what's
going
on.
All right. Here we go.
Mole! Bloody mole! We're not supposed to talk about the bloody mole, but there's a bloody mole winking me in the face. I'm going to chirp it off and cut it up and make some guacamole.
Oh, yeah. She got the mole. And it's right on her temple. And it's when she gets...
Well.
Okay, she's... People who have seen the movie poster know she wears the Native American makeup on the face and everything like that. But there's a moment where she gets clean and you see her natural, beautiful skin.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there is a large mole that That's really true. Threw me off.
That is unfortunate.
It is for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, we can't all be perfect, Dave.
No, you did mention the birthmark on the knuckle or whatever. That I might be able to, you know... Abide.
Listen, it shows that I was on the right track, though. I do know you.
No. Yeah. You were just like looking for the right. Yeah,
you get some points.
Yeah, you were looking for the key to unlock the door, and you had, you know, a fair amount of keys on that.
Yes.
holder there. Yeah, but no, it was definitely the mole. So,
all right.
I think I could overlook it though.
Well, that's good. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah, as long as her feet are okay.
Yes.
If the feet are fine, I can overlook the mole. If the feet are jacked and the mole is there, forget about it.
Forget it.
No more Dreamweaver for you, Miss Mid-Thunder. It's over. And I'm sorry. I got to apologize, but you can get your toothbrush in the mailbox. It was fun while it lasted. See you later, baby. All right. So, I mean, I guess overall here, I'm more favorable of the film than you are.
Yes, but I did not hate it.
You did not hate it. So it was worth a watch. You would watch it again?
I probably would. I'm not in a rush to do it, but if somebody else I knew wanted to watch it, I'd watch it with them.
All right. Good, good. That's good. Now, if there's a sequel, you inclined to watch that, or is that something you'd probably wait on?
No, I'd watch it.
Okay.
I'd watch it because I'm a sucker and I grew up with Predator, so I'll watch them all.
And just real quick, the violence in the movie, I know you mentioned the tech. You didn't think it was okay or what?
Sure.
Because there was a couple scenes with a lot of blood because I was watching this and I always do. I watch everything. Anybody who does know me, maybe not as well as Nate does about moles and feet and hands and stuff. knows that I've got a young one in my house, and I know the movie is rated R, so he's not going to watch it. But still, while I'm watching it, I'm thinking, what could he see?
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot of blood, a lot of gushy goo. And I'm like, ah, is that good for a 10-year-old? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It wasn't as gratuitous as the first one.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. It wasn't as gratuitous as the other films I saw where you got to do a lot of muting, coughing, pausing, fast forwarding.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs, all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, saw that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, anyway. Indeed. So there you go. If you haven't seen Prey on the Hulu, I guess we've kind of given it an endorsement enough where you should watch it. If not, look, if you're listening to our show right now and you haven't seen it, it's not a priority for you.
Right?
Because it's been all over social media. The reviews are everywhere. It's one of those things that if you really wanted to see, you probably would have by now. So you're probably listening to hear our opinion because you value what we have to say, to which I say thank you.
Right. But
if you are one of those people who's like, yeah, maybe I'd watch it on the couch during a hangover because I'm too lazy to, you know, search for things, or I'm sick of scrolling. Oh, the worst is that whole stream and scroll. I don't know what to watch. So you spend an hour and a half looking at all these crappy freaking movies before you finally pick one. You could have watched one while you were doing that.
I know, man.
Prey is definitely worth a viewing.
I agree.
In our, that's what I call it.
That's right.
It's like, not our opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Zuck It.
Zuck It.
That's all I got to say about that. Yes, yes. And Miss Amber, if you're out there, you know, something could in fact happen. Something could happen. But I would suggest humbly that you go and see your dermatologist. And in all fairness, I'll switch to low-fat creamer. I'll lose some weight. So if you're hearing this, that's the trade. You chop off that brown invader on your face, and I'll potentially lose a few pounds just so we can make some sweet, sweet magic together. Sweet. So, all right, that's Prey. So now that we've wrapped that up, and I've made a complete and utter fool to myself with my plea to a Hollywood star, because you know her star is rising.
I
guess now is the time to get in. It's like the ground floor. A creep with a celebrity.
Now's your chance.
Yeah, now.
If you want to get that mole off her face, do it now.
Yeah, it's now or never. I mean, geez, if only I had gotten to John Boy sooner from Little House on the Prairie. I forgot his real name in real life, but
Richard Thomas.
Richard Thomas. Anybody old enough to remember Richard Thomas knows that son of a bitch. Mm. That poor bastard. Someone spilled a coffee on his face and never cleaned it. This is a great segue into our live reads. Yes, because I want to talk about the partners of the show real quick. And then we'll get into some Nate's Notes, which is, of course, our constant on our show where Nate talks about some music topics. But live reads.
I'm the rock. I'm the
you
rock.
You are the rock.
Bringing it with the rock.
Yeah, you are. You're the rock. Yeah, that was my Sean Connery referring to the Nick Cage movie. As if my reference to the guy's name I just forgot with the coffee stain on his face.
Richard Thomas.
Richard Thomas. Wasn't dated enough to make people say, hey, I'm like not over the age of 50. Why am I listening to the show? You know, there you go with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not review the movie like we did Prey. And I don't even know if I want to call that a movie review. More of a movie discussion.
Sure.
So let me discuss the partners of our program right now, because I got some news, Nate, some good news.
Oh, shit.
20% off. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds awesome.
That sounds freaking sweet, man. Because we just got handed a brand spanking new coupon code from our pals over at wonkyweeds.com, deathbygummybears.com, alpinehemp.com, and northlandvapor.com. Whoa, holy mackerel, someone hold me down. That's a lot of websites, that's a lot of merchandise, and those are some big savings. At all of those sites, if you use code SELLINGOUT20, 20% off. So what do they make? If you've never listened to the show before, yeah, here's your quick education, I suppose. CBD, Delta 8, Delta 11, vape products, CBD. Did I just say CBD? Well, what the hell? I'll say it again because there's a lot of CBD going on over there. all the things that you would need to help you relax, get into good headspace, and heal up are available at all those sites. Gummies, you like gummies? I know Nate likes gummies. You just had some wonky weeds recently, didn't you?
I will just say they're awesome. Wonky weeds, the Death by Gummy Bears gummies are fucking incredible.
Oh, okay. That was a quick review during their ad. Yeah, well, who cares? I mean, it's a ringing endorsement. So, I mean, if you got to swear, you got to swear. It's honesty.
Yep.
And that's what we like, is being honest about the stuff that we endorse. And I'm glad you enjoyed them, because they are a great company. And I love the people over there at Northland, and I thank them for the coupon code. So please go out and use it. Don't waste it. This is a gift. Okay? That's what this is. You're welcome. I also want to mention our other sponsor over at SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is a lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? Seriously, everybody, you can now have SpunkLube delivered discreetly to your door at amazing and awesome prices. So make sure you go visit SpunkLube.com today. And I guess you could thank me later, because fun times do in fact await. Now, we plugged those partners. It is time for, drumroll please. There is no drumroll. Crap. Nate, I was waiting for you to back me up on that one.
Nope. I didn't do that.
Well, you're going to be doing a lot of talking coming up. So it's time for Nate's Notes.
Ba-ba-bum.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
The 1990s were a weird time for metal. Alternative music, grunge, and eventually new metal kind of put a halt to the wider success of genres like thrash or death metal. There were still fans that watched Headbangers Ball, and the hardcore scene kept heavy music evolving, eventually ushering metalcore with bands like Overcast, Converge, and Earth Crisis. But as far as mainstream success, all the heaviness was coming from bands like Korn and Limp Bizkit, Seven Dust, and Static X. Nine Inch Nails was pretty huge too, inspiring lots of copycats like Gravity Kills and Stabbing Westward. In short, all the heavy music on the radio seemed to be inflected with a heavy dose of alternative culture. A win for those of us who dug the underground sound, but all the diehard heavy metal fans were crying about Metallica cutting their hair and Megadeth putting out softer material. The one band that managed to hold it together and never compromise their heaviness was Pantera. In 1994, while Soundgarden and Nine Inch Nails were on top of the world with their albums Super Unknown and The Downward Spiral, respectively, Pantera actually topped the Billboard 200 with their heaviest album yet, Far Beyond Driven. It proved that metal still had a place in the mainstream musical world. They put out a couple more records by the turn of the century and continued to tour to sold-out crowds. Many people say they more or less single-handedly carried the torch for metal through those years of alternative, industrial, and grunge. Unfortunately, things were falling apart within the band. Singer Phil Anselmo developed some serious addictions and often shot his mouth off on and off stage, sometimes yelling ignorant shit about white power. He also started a few side projects, which further strained relationships within Pantera. They started recording their parts for subsequent Pantera albums in different states. The band basically fractured into two camps: Phil and bassist Rex Brown on one side. They also both recorded in the side project called Down. And on the other, the Abbott brothers, Dimebag Darrell and Vinnie Paul on guitar and drums. Pantera was actually created by the Abbott brothers in the early 80s. And Rex joined early on, but they only took off after Phil Anselmo joined, almost a decade later. Their combined chemistry was what made them blow up. And ironically, in a way, I suppose, chemistry, or at least ingesting chemicals, was blowing them apart. In the end, it seems as though the main issue that finally did them in was Phil's involvement in his numerous side projects. Not just spending time recording, but touring and promotion as well. The Abbott brothers got bored, sitting back waiting for Phil to get around to them. So they announced that Pantera was breaking up. Daryl and Vinnie Abbott would start a new band together called Damage Plan. Phil and Rex would continue in Down, and Phil also had his band called Superjoint Ritual. What followed the breakup was a lot of well-publicized name-calling, a lot of really mean, bitter stuff from both camps. Bassist Rex Brown seemed more or less caught in the middle, although he continued to work with Phil. The fracture seemed permanent, and as it turned out, it was. Daryl and Vinny's project Damage Plan put out their debut record in February 2004. It sold well, but naturally, all the reviews compared it with Pantera's legendary work, and many found it somewhat lacking. Damage Plan toured, and the venues were a great deal smaller than what they had been accustomed to. It was at one of these smaller clubs in December 04 that Damage Plan played their last show. An emotionally troubled concertgoer named Nathan Gale walked on stage minutes into their first song and opened fire, killing Dimebag Darrell, as well as two members of the band's staff and another fan who was at the show. No motive was ever given for the killing, but it sounds like Nathan Gale had his share of mental health issues. To give you a sense of how strained things were between the two ex-Pantera camps by that point, Phil wasn't even welcome at Daryl's funeral. Apparently, Daryl's girlfriend Rita and his brother Vinny both made that clear to Phil. The killing didn't bring them together. If anything, it just widened the chasm between them. Vinnie Paul soldiered on with yet another project called Hell Yeah, with members of the bands Nothing Face and Mudvayne. But occasionally, an interviewer would ask one of the surviving Pantera veterans if a reunion were somehow possible. At one point, it was leaked that Zakk Wylde from Ozzy Osbourne's band and later Black Label Society was maybe being considered to play guitar. But that was specifically shot down by Rex Brown in an interview. The answer was always no. They all had their own things going, and there was still too much animosity. In 2018, Vinnie Paul's death from cardiomyopathy seemed to put the final nail in the Pantera coffin. Both Abbott brothers, the founding members, were now gone. So, fast forward to a couple weeks ago. It's now been released in the press that Pantera is doing a reunion tour in 2023. Many of us had the same reaction. How the hell do you do that? The official word is that Phil Anselmo and Rex Brown will be joined by Anthrax's Charlie Benante on drums and, surprise, surprise, Zakk Wylde on guitar. These are world-class players, no doubt. But the Abbotts had a certain personality, an individuality that makes it hard to accept this news. Dimebag Darrell was one of a kind, a pioneer in the world of guitar. Hell, Eddie Van Halen put one of his own personal guitars in Darrell's coffin to be buried with him. It was a Kiss coffin, by the way. I'm sure Zakk Wylde will play the hell out of those riffs and solos. I'm sure Charlie will sound flawless playing Vinny's drum parts. And they will both be treating the material with respect and reverence. It'll be awesome for all the younger fans who never got a chance to see those songs performed live. It's being treated as a celebration of the accomplishments of this band and its two fallen members. I'm sure there will be huge screens on stage with images of the Abbott brothers everywhere. I'd love to think that they are doing all this with the best of intentions. But it feels a little gross under the circumstances. This is a reunion that was constantly shot down by the members while Daryl and or Vinny were still here. I mean, apparently, Phil Anselmo sort of made nice with Dimebag's girlfriend, Rita, in the past decade or so. And I guess even the divide between he and Vinny was a little less icy by the time Vinny died. I guess they all worked together to put out reissue albums in best of collections some years ago. But they all said it wasn't right to do it without Dimebag Darrell. So it seems weird now that Darrell's brother is also gone, that somehow it's cool all of a sudden. And by the way, Phil has been touring with his newest project, Phil Anselmo and the Illegals, for a while now. And at many of these shows, they've been doing a whole set of old Pantera tracks. And as I've said, he's worked with Rex Brown for a long time, so they're not having some momentous reunion. So what exactly are we celebrating here? It seems like the big deal is that it's the first time in decades that concert promoters and venues and management, and of course the performers, can charge the type of money a, quote, Pantera reunion would warrant. Sure, you've seen Rex and Phil play together since Pantera broke up. Sure, you've seen them play Pantera songs on stage with other guitarists and drummers before, but, and hear me out here, have you ever paid exorbitant fees to see those exact same things simply because this time it's billed as Pantera? I didn't think so.
Wow. You know, you made a fuck ton of sense there, Nate. I mean, there's a lot of people who are very excited about this reunion online. Well, not even reunion, just the reforming.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be more appropriate since you are missing two of the original band members of Pantera.
And the other two never really broke apart to reunite.
Yeah, right.
Still been working together.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it to me, what you just said is a money grab. That's all that you can really explain it to be. The love doesn't feel like it is truly there. I could not say I'm a Pantera fan. I mean, I liked Pantera plenty when I was young. I mean, who didn't? It was metal. You know what I mean? So my true interest in this whole thing is actually about Rex.
Yeah.
Because that guy looked like an emaciated, half-dead slug back in the 90s. I wonder what the hell he looks like now. And does he even have any money? It's like they call up Rex, hey, you want to reunite Pantera? He looks over at the growing stack of bills on his kitchen table and goes, oh, yeah, with a toothless grin, grabs his bass, heads out the door.
Yeah.
I'm sick of painting fences, damn it.
Well, you know, that could be. I don't know. I mean, Rex has been part of certain projects of Phil's over the years. So it's like, I'm sure he's got some money and the reissues and all those things. But yes, I mean, it's being billed as this whole celebration of the Abbotts and all this. But yeah, man, it's fucking gross. I'm sorry. And not to get on another thing, but there's another situation that's very similar to this. Like, speaking of 90s bands that were sort of heavy, there was the old band Static X, and they were more on that industrial sort of tip. They were more like, they were heavy, but it was, you know, drum machine-ish sounding beats.
Sure.
and stuff. And to me, they always kind of sucked. They were always just kind of basic, and I don't know. But their singer, Wayne Static, the singer of Static X, the guy whose name, like, who name, you know, his name is basically the name of the band. I mean, I'm sure it's not his real name, but he died. He fucking, first of all, he like fired most of the rest of the band at one point before he died. He died years ago. I'm talking like 15 years ago or something.
Okay.
But he, by the time he died, Static X was basically just him and some hired guns. Like, all the original guys had died, had been kicked out or whatever.
Yeah, they weren't fired. They've been freaking shit canned. Yeah.
And Static X, Wayne Static rather, had developed, again, just like Phil Anselmo, drug problems, this and that. And he died. I believe his death was drug related. Do you know, years later, the remaining members of Static X that were all kicked out decide to try to reform. They are now touring as Static X without the main dude. Like, Wayne Static, if you don't know, he's like this visually very like, you know, I don't know. You know him when you see him. He's got a very distinct look. His hair, he would always have his hair like up like the Slim Jim guy on the commercials, like the straight up in the air, like he had long hair, but he spiked it all straight up in the air.
Okay.
And he had a really long beard. And so his head looked like this weird, like it was on fire or something, like very unique, distinct look. And they reform Static X without this guy. And what do they do for a singer? They don't tell anyone. They don't reveal in press releases who is singing. They have a mystery man on stage who wears a mask that some special effects guy made that looks like a dead skin mask. Like it looks like it was peeled off somebody. Like it was, it's done.
Oh, like, don't say creepy. It looks like Wayne Static.
It's Wayne Static's hair and his goatee. And they would call him Zero, but with an X, like X Zero, like Zero. And nobody knew who he was for a long time. It's been revealed eventually, I guess, that it's the singer from this old, also shitty 90s band called Dope. The singer from this band, Dope,
yeah,
who I
well,
honestly don't even remember any of their music. But yeah, so that's as gross as the Pantera reunion is. At least they don't have somebody up there with a dead Dimebag Darrell mask on, like playing the guitar, pretending to be like a reanimated corpse of, you know what I mean? Like, that's fucking gross, dude.
I was going to say good for them. I was going to be like, hey, all right, you got fired, but you can still go back and milk the cow a little bit, get some ducats out of that. And then I was like, oh.
I guess,
don't do that. No. Because nostalgia is a funny thing, right? I mean, we live in the era of just completely cashing in on our youth. I mean, it's just, I wonder if like the next two generations, let's say my kids' generation, when they finally get their own buying power, if nostalgia is still going to be such a thing, because a lot of it, if you think of it, when we were kids, there's a rarity to it because things were collected and thrown in the trash. Now everybody knows you've got to keep things in boxes and collect them and shine them and keep them perfect and pristine and whatever. And we've also been burned. Kiss, the final tour. Oh, and guess what? They're back 2 years later. Hey, we were just playing with you. I know you all paid for the T-shirts, tickets, and every other piece of memorabilia saying it was the final tour. Well, no, not until we're dead. But even that, now death does not stop you. Tupac Shakur, guess what? We've got a hologram. We've got a hologram that's going to play at Coachella. You can still see Mr. Tupac Shakur. So where does it end? Where does it stop? Defining the line of what you just call gross, I mean, I agree with you. I really do. I think this whole Pantera thing just sounds horrible. But I mean, where does it end? I mean, what the Static X thing? Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
But what is next? I mean, come on. Other than, probably being like, hey, you show up at the show and you get a piece of the ashes, you know, printed in T-shirt ink of the dead members of the band. I don't know. And what's the appeal? Man. Like you said, they've already been playing the songs with other outfits and doing their own thing. It's like, what, you want to go to get said T-shirt that says you were there? Bootleg it. Make your own. Why do you need to go and do that? I don't know.
It's fucked up.
Doesn't sound like it's for love. That's for sure. Especially when you talked about the warring, the infighting with the members of the band. And coincidentally, it took two of the brothers to die before it finally came to fruition. Because obviously, Vinnie Paul was like, not so cool with that. But now he's out of the picture. All right, gates are open.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, let's open the vault. Let's do that. Let's see. I mean, I don't know what kind of venues they're going to play, but money's money.
I guarantee it's a lot bigger than the venues that fill in someone the illegals have been playing. And like, you know what I mean? Damage Plan was playing. I heard that they're planning on doing a lot of like those huge metal festivals like the Hellfest and the whatever, you know, Wacken or whatever in Germany. Like, I think they're going to be playing a lot of those, but I'm sure they will be doing a tour of like big venues. And it's big news, but unfortunately, the product is not anything really special because we've already been seeing it. We've been seeing Phil and Rex play together, we've been seeing Phil sing Pantera songs on stage. Now it's just called Pantera so they can bill more. And that's basically it.
Well, ain't that something? Well, good for Rex.
Yeah.
The guy probably has more money than I do, for crying out loud.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that was...
No offense to you, I'm saying.
Hey.
That came out wrong.
Well, that was fast. I was like, oh, you better believe your biscuits, baby. He's got more money than you. Yeah, schmuck. But yeah, good, well, good for him. Hopefully he's, you know, doing a little bit better than Mick Mars.
Right.
Physically.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is. Mick Not Mars financially, because we all know Mick Mars. He's got the money.
Yep.
And Motley Crue is still touring, even though I've heard they're terrible live.
Yes.
But
yes.
they're still doing it because, yet again, it's like it doesn't even matter what the product is.
Nope.
I went to go see the Crue.
I bought a concert t-shirt for $60.
Yeah.
I was here.
Yeah, I was here. Yeah. I was here. I took a dump in the porta potty at this event center while Tommy Lee was doing his drum solo, while Phil Anselmo was hailing the Nazis.
Yes.
I was taking a leak next to a guy with a fro. I don't know where the hell that came from.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a guy with a fro there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of fros out there. And he'd probably be offended because he has a fro. He's like, what's up, bro? Yeah. Said the guy with a fro. Don't you know? The Nazis aren't so cool anymore. Hello. Right? So, yeah.
You should write a song.
Yeah, I just did. I just awesome. Did. But I'm not going to play it until our reunion tour in the year 3082 when they reanimate our severed heads via Ted Williams, Walt Disney, and put them in little glass jars and they can play, I don't know, with like the little robotic legs synthesizers.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, that's also weird. So anyway, all right. Well, Nate, good piece, per usual.
Thanks, man.
Good stuff. Food for thought. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you do ever have thoughts on what we did discuss, make sure you reach out to us, email or socials, because we want to hear from you. I had recently gotten an email, and I had completely forgotten that we had discussed this on the show, from an airbag fetishist.
Oh, shit.
Fetish person. Yeah. And they wanted to enlighten me on the world of the airbag fetish. And they sent an email with attached was some, I guess, some material related to it, to which I did not open. But I still want to thank that person. Yeah. I didn't want, we were talking about Chris Hansen earlier. I didn't want the FBI at my door with that. So, but anyway,
some malware. Not to assume our listeners would send us malware, but I'm a little leery of opening up attachments and emails.
Yeah,
and
especially when it has to do with, you know, fetish.
Kinks and fetishes, yeah.
But I just brought that up because that one was a little unique, a little off the beaten path compared to some of the other correspondence we get. And with that, I guess airbags is a great way to end a show. Because you know what? We needed one. This was something else, this episode. I mean, we needed to come to a stop, gentle, hard, whatever you want, but it's got to come to an end.
And this person obviously thought airbags were a good way to come to finish up.
Was that puns all over the place? Very punny?
I don't know. It was an attempt.
Yeah, very nice indeed. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for taking the time to listen to our show. Hopefully you enjoyed some prey talk. I mean, listen, we're not really professional movie reviewers, but we did want to discuss the film, so that was a lot of fun. And, of course, some Pantera. We had some PP action today. Predator and Prey, rather, and Pantera. So PPP.
Pantera.
There you go. That's like when celebrities merge their names together when they become engaged.
Bennifer and Pantera.
Bennifer. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. So virtual hugs for everybody out there. Thank you for listening to the Selling Out Show. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been Selling Out.
Peace. Wake up to the devil.